of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What makes you believe in something? What is it that you see or hear? And not just see or hear, what is it that you take into yourself and live out? What is it about your life? What is it about the events that happen to you that make you a believer in something? What does that even mean? We know that when Jesus tells parables, he's talking a lot about the nature of God, but Jesus often has things to say as much or more about human nature, about the way that we are, not just about the way that God is. And today's parable is almost all about human nature, about the way that we are, about the way that we see each other, about the way that we believe or not. And in this parable, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he is also talking to the Pharisees. Now, the disciples are those who believe already. The Pharisees are those who say, is this really the way that God is? And we are both. Let's just go ahead and get that out there. We believe. We're here because we believe. We're also here because we want to believe more. And we're also here because there is that voice inside us that says, is this really the way that God is? And is this really the way that I am? This is how we learn to believe, by understanding who we are and who God is in our lives. And a lot of times, human nature dictates we want to see it before we can believe it. But we don't just want to see it. We don't just want to see something ordinary. We want to see something different and spectacular. Lord, if you show me something out of the ordinary, then I will believe. If you give me some kind of proof that doesn't just show up in my everyday life, then I will believe. Send me something to let me know that I should, that this is different, that you are there. We've all felt that way. It's hard not to. So Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's talking to the Pharisees. And just before he gives us this parable, the Pharisees are trying to make this argument that what they are doing is right, that they are following the law, which is not entirely wrong. But Jesus tells them, you think that you can use your faith or the law as a battering ram to enter heaven. This is right before we get to today's parable. You think that you can storm the kingdom of heaven by the force of your will or the force of your acts. And then Jesus tells us this parable, which gives us an insight into the human nature that says, first of all, we can get there by our own acts. And second of all, maybe we can dictate who else gets there. What Jesus says about human nature in this parable is this. First of all, we want to see it before we can believe it. Here is a rich man, dressed in purple and fine linens, the most expensive things you could possibly own in that day and age. And he feasts every day, not just on special occasions. Every day is this huge and sumptuous feast. And literally at his front door, there when he goes in, there when he comes out, literally at his front door, to be seen, to be heard, is Lazarus, the poor man who has nothing. Now, in those days and in these days as well, we have something that we would call the prosperity gospel, which comes to us over a long, long period of centuries. Boiled down, what it says is this: if you are doing well for yourself, if you have not only what you need, but a whole lot of other things besides, then God has favored you. You're doing something right. We're still talking about human nature here, by the way. If you're not doing so well, if you're sitting at the gate covered in sores, surrounded by the dogs, then obviously you have done something wrong, or your parents have done something wrong, or something has gone wrong in your life where God does not favor you. Still on the human nature thing here. This is the way that we think sometimes. I'm doing well, God loves me. I'm not doing so well, God has cursed me. Boiling it down to that. And we want to see something different. To the rich man, Lazarus is nothing different. Every day, he sees this guy, same dogs, same misery, back and forth, right outside the gate. There's nothing special about that. It's the same thing that we see in our lives, every day, back and forth. We see people without really seeing them. It's not special to us. So the rich man dies, and he is in torment. Torment, and looks up, and lo and behold, here is Abraham, the patriarch of us all, and beside him is Lazarus, this guy. The rich man sees Lazarus now for the first time, perhaps, really. What is he doing? What is he doing with Abraham being rocked in the bosom of Abraham when clearly he had no value, because that's what his human nature would have told him. Now, I want to make it clear, when Jesus continues on with this parable, we hear the voice of the rich man, and we hear the voice of Abraham. We don't overtly, outright, hear the voice of God. We hear humans talking to other humans, otherworldly humans, I'll grant you that. But it's still two human figures speaking. And this is what Jesus points out to us, that these humans have to say to each other. The rich man pleads for a little bit of mercy. And Abraham denies that. No, you got everything that you wanted in that life, so you're not going to get it now. A very human thing to say. And then the rich man says, please, please then, I have five brothers. And it's implied that these five brothers are living the same kind of life that the rich man lived. I have five brothers living in my father's house. They're just like me. I don't want it to be too late for them. Send Lazarus. Send a sign. Send something spectacular that they don't see every day, so that they don't end up where I am. And Abraham, still very human, says, if they don't believe what they already have, they're not going to believe someone that comes back. We don't believe what we don't want to believe, is what Abraham is saying. And then he says, there is a chasm that you have created. You, the rich man, there is a chasm that you have created, and the implication there from this human conversation is that that abyss cannot be approached or crossed or overcome. Now, in a way, that is true. In a way. Because there is really not much that we as humans are able to do on our own. This is the argument that Jesus has just made to the Pharisees before we hear the parable. You think you can batter your way into heaven by what you do or what you have, and that is not true. You think that you can bridge a chasm between yourself and God by what you do or what you have, and that is not true. This is the human nature of today's parable. But where is the nature of God? We've heard the voice of Abraham. We've heard the voice of the rich man. Jesus is the one telling the story. Where is the voice and the presence of God in this parable? It's not overt, but it is there. The rich man says, I don't see, and I didn't see, that which was right in front of me. My brothers, they are not going to see what is right in front of them either. So send them something spectacular. Give them someone that has come back from the dead to give them this message. Give them a sign, a portent, an omen, something they don't see every day. Jesus' point here and the voice of God here comes through the undercurrent that says, what you need is right in front of you. You don't need to see Lazarus come back from the dead to tell you these things. Your five brothers, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our friends, all of us, everything we need to see is right in front of us. The poor man, the rich man, ourselves, the presence of God in every person that is in this place and outside of it, we long for signs. We want something special. And all throughout the Gospel of Luke, people are asking, well, but what's the sign? What is it going to look like when the judgment comes? What is it going to look like when you leave and come back? How do we know that you're God? How do we know what's true? How do we know what to believe? Give us something different. And Jesus responds, you have been given everything already. All you have to do is really see that it's there. The second aspect of the nature of God, the voice of God that we hear in this parable, comes again when we think of what Abraham says. You've set up this great chasm, this great separation between yourself and the rest of the world, and I can't come to you, and you can't come to me. Okay, that's very human. The undercurrent, the meaning of the voice of God, of the nature of God in this parable, is the one that says, yes, there is separation. Absolutely. And we do separate ourselves and make these divisions that don't need to be there. But God is the bridge. God is the one who says, you are over here and you are over here, but I am between you. And you can go from one to the other through me, through my love. Not through what you do, not through what you think of other people, but what I think of you because of the way that I love you. God does not desire for that chasm to be there between rich and poor, male and female, black and white, this and that, any of it. God is that bridge that sometimes we don't see. And so what are we waiting for? Really, what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for Lazarus to come and say, I am Lazarus, come from the dead. Come back to tell you all. I shall tell you all. And instead what we say is, no, that's not what I meant at all. That is not it. I want something else. We're always going to want something else. We're always going to want a bigger and better sign, especially when that sign is telling us something we don't want to hear. There is no bigger and better sign than what you see in front of you. There is no bigger and better sign than the voices that you hear in your life. There is no bigger and better sign than the presence of God that you are experiencing right now. Right here. And in a few minutes, when you see the altar and you see the gifts on it and you understand, the presence of God comes in a piece of bread, a sip of wine, the person that's kneeling next to you. What more sign could you want? This parable, if taken only on human terms, tells us that it's too late, that if we haven't seen it, we're not going to, that if we make it to a certain point, there is no hope for us, that there is no bridge, no reconciliation. Jesus says it's not too late. Jesus says right now is the right time. We don't have to wait to see great things. We don't have to wait to be the people that God is calling us to be. We can do that right now in the way that we look at each other, in the way that we look at the people that we don't truly see from time to time. What makes you believe? What is going to be enough for you to believe? What more do you need to see in order to believe? Amen.